Hi, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm going to kick it off right away with something really exciting. When I first had the idea to launch my personal blog, livebeautifully.com, I started looking around for a platform that I could easily design myself. Since this was so personal, not your typical company website, I wanted it to feel different. You all know I'm pretty picky when it comes to aesthetic. When you visit livebeautifully.com, I want you to feel like you're coming over to my house for a glass of wine and chatting all things life, beauty, branding, and beyond. I searched everywhere for templates, but nothing felt right for this passion project. One night, I was having dinner with my girlfriend Jenna, and out of curiosity and admiration, I asked her who built her website. I just assumed it was some crazy custom site that cost her an arm and a leg. To my surprise, she looked at me and said, "I use templates through Tonic Sites, the most beautiful websites to ever exist." I felt like I lived under a rock. I was so surprised and excited that I could build a site that beautiful all by myself. The very next day, I bought a template and started building my website that afternoon. It's super easy because you can choose a template that you love and customize each page with your brand colors, typography, and photos. Plus, you can see how it will look on mobile and all devices. My favorite part, anything you ever want to change, you can adjust yourself without waiting forever, hiring a developer, or dealing with crazy agency fees. The entrepreneur in me literally shed a tear of joy. Trust me, I've been through it all. And to know we can all build our dream website was just so refreshing. Your site will be all you, and you can customize it and keep it fresh and updated. No one will ever guess your site wasn't custom designed because Jen and Jeff from Tonic designed the most gorgeous and strategic templates just for creatives and entrepreneurs like us. They know we have enough on our plates. The last thing we want you to be Googling is code at 2 a.m. So if you want to launch your own blog or business website that's actually affordable, head to livebeautifully.com/tonic to check out my favorite templates and use your code KatrinaSentMe at checkout for 15% off any design. Your dream, your business, and your brand deserves a beautiful place to live, and I can't wait to see what you create. Welcome to the Live Beautifully podcast. I'm Katrina Scott. I'm a mom, a passionate female founder, and a creative brand builder. In the last 15 years, I've been everything from a personal trainer to a Forbes featured entrepreneur, a New York Times bestselling author, and the co-founder of the leading fitness empire, Tone It Up. And with that comes CEO, late night copywriter, creative director, social media expert, and of course, the most important job to inspire creativity, an office intern running out for coffee and donuts for the dream team. I'm humbled and so grateful for my journey so far, and I can't wait to write new chapters with all of you. Creativity, success, and making your dreams come to life takes passion, commitment, and a deep, deep love. And love is fostered and grown through deep connections and purpose. And we're going to do just that together. From personal life stories to thoughtful conversations with the most inspiring guests and Ask Me Anything episodes, my hope is this show will ignite your creative brilliance so you can flourish and live beautifully. Hi, happy Friday. How are you? Today, I am so excited to sit down with my friend and someone who I've personally looked up to, Shanisha Boswell. I can already tell that this conversation is going to be so beautiful. Shanisha is raw, honest, and open, and I'm just looking forward to see where this chat leads us today. She's the founder of one of the very first platforms that speaks on parenting, culture, and lifestyle from a Black mom's point of view called Black Mom's Blog. She's also an author of the book My Piece of the Pie, a collection of stories from Black female founders, and her latest book, Oh Sis, You're Pregnant, and the co-author alongside her adorable daughter, Cameron, of the children's book Sunshine Honey that teaches children positive affirmations. She has persevered, come out of challenging times more resilient than ever, and I'm so grateful for us to hear from her and her experiences today. So here we go. Welcome, Shanisha Boswell. We're doing it.
We're doing it. We made it. We made it happen. You made it happen. I just sat here and ate gummy bears.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I was thinking back to the day that we met. We were backstage and we were about to walk out and it was a bunch of moms. There was something about you that felt familiar. I don't know if everyone gets that sense about you, but I felt a little bit at home. I was like, okay. So when we were on stage, we were talking a lot about motherhood, and we're going to talk a lot about motherhood today. And the most beautiful thing about that day was your daughter was in the audience. You not only acknowledged that your daughter was there, you also acknowledged that you're not a single parent. And I would love for you to talk a little bit about that before we get into everything else.
Yeah. So it's so funny. I just watched our session at Wellness Your Way. It's on YouTube now. Aww. And so it was about 45 minutes long. And I sat down and I watched it because, like, you know, when you're in the moment and you're going through that experience, you can't really see it because you're in the midst of it happening. And so I went back and I watched it. And I the whole time I was just smiling, watching our conversations, because to me, it was just such a representation of what motherhood looks like, you know. Mm-hmm. And I loved how real that conversation was, because it wasn't the cookie cutter, like, yeah, this is my life and I'm a mom and it's perfect. It was like, no, this is hard and we're struggling, and but we're also very happy and we're very blessed in our lives. And so I wanted to say that was such a, you're right, it was such a beautiful day. And even to be sitting here and talking to you now after that, like, I tell people all the time, the power of just saying hello, and not just going up on stage and talking, because that's not always where the connection happens. So I did talk about that day in particular, about the fact that I reclassified myself. I said, I'm not a single mother. I'm a single woman with a child. And I've done that for a few years now. It was kind of a way to take back my power, but also to recognize my own privilege in motherhood, because a lot of times when we are quote unquote single parents, we look at it that way. Well, I'm a single mom. Well, not really. You know, when you have a child whose father is active, and not right now because of COVID, but our children go to school for 8 hours a day. They have grandparents. We have friends that help out. So I wanted to re-own who I was. And that was a part of me kind of walking back into my own power as a woman and saying, I am not a single mom. I'm a single woman with a child. I have lots of help. And with that help, I'm able to really live a beautiful life. I'm able to travel. I'm able to enjoy things. I'm able to go out and have dinner with friends. And so I wanted to be an empowered person, because that's who I portray myself to be. And that's who I am in real life. So that's kind of where that line of reasoning came from for me.
Okay. So for anyone that doesn't know you, I would love for you to just share a little bit about what inspired you to start your company? Because I don't really feel like it existed. So how did you even get the idea to start something that didn't exist, or even the strength and the motivation and inspiration to do that?
So it's such a heavy question. I've tried to refine my answer as much as I can. I run a platform. It's called Black Mom's Blog, and we talk parenting, culture, and lifestyle from a Black mom's point of view. And so my daughter now, she's 8 years old, and I started the platform when she was 3. And it really came from a space of wanting to create a positive space for representation of Black motherhood in the motherhood space. And you're right. 5 years ago, I didn't exist. This platform did not exist. Black Mom's Blog didn't exist. And that doesn't take away from the fact that there weren't Black mom bloggers, but there just wasn't a representation of us in a very outright kind of way. And so a lot of times when people hear the name, they automatically, they're like, oh my God, I'm not welcomed here. I'm not supposed to be here. And I used to answer those questions, because I always say, like, it's never a Black person's job to teach a white person. But in the role that I've taken on in my business, it is, as any influencer, it is our job to, you know, help people to understand why we're doing what we're doing. And if our goal is really unification and positive representation, then there's no problem in saying, this is why this exists. And so with BMB, it's literally 70% of our content is focused around parenting for anyone. It's just from a Black mother. And then 30% is more focused on race related questions, like, you know, what do I do when my child is the only minority in a classroom? How do I deal with Black hair care, you know, Black women and breastfeeding, things like that, that are more specific to our culture. And also getting brands to understand the importance of using more African-American families in their marketing and representation, which we've seen a huge shift in over the last few years. So that's a little bit of why it started from a business perspective. And then for me as a mother, really just needing to find women who look like me that I could be friends with, because motherhood can be so lonely and our friendship circles change. And I wanted to provide that avenue for moms that were going through that even now, and help them maybe not feel so isolated in the experiences that I had when I was a young mother.
Yeah, I feel welcome whenever I go.
You're
I
just,
and I learned so much just by reading things that maybe I haven't experienced. I read a story that you posted about your daughter being, you know, the minority in the class. And I was thinking to myself, wow, okay, that would be, you know, if Isabel was the only white child in her class and how, and I had never thought about that. And so I enjoy reading your captions and reading your experiences because it's not only helping everyone that is experiencing it, but it helps me realize my one, my privilege, and two, different perspectives and maybe even how I can talk with some of my girlfriends that maybe are experiencing that or will. So I'm really grateful for you.
Thank you.
And then how many women are part of your community?
So on Instagram, we have a community of almost 500,000 women. I believe it's like 484,000. And then on Facebook, we have a community of around 20,000. We have a private Facebook group that is specifically for our Black moms. And that one's almost at 8K. And then we have a very small Twitter. I'm like, I can't keep up with all the social media. I'm trying my hardest.
Yeah,
but in total, around 600,000 women are a part of our community.
Do you have your TikTok yet?
Oh, no, I drew the line at Instagram. I'm done.
Yeah.
If my community leaves me for TikTok, I don't know what to say. I can't keep up.
Yeah. I dabbled into the TikTok a little bit, and then, 2020 really got, busy with other things. And so I decided not to prioritize that. But did you ever anticipate what you started to grow to the level that it's grown? No.
No. And I feel like that's why I look at certain communities, you know, even with your Tone It Up, I don't know if that was your story as well. But when I talk to social entrepreneurs, the ones that have made it are not the ones who went into it like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make all this money. It comes from a really passionate place. Like, I feel like the internet has a certain energy about it. And when you feed it, it feeds you back. You know, like you can post every day, but if your heart isn't in it, those posts don't do as well. And I've realized that, and I've noticed that, and I've studied it. Like when my heart is in it, the internet feeds me back something great. And so when I started B&B, I had no intention of it being as big as it was. I was just, you know, 20, I think I was like 26 at the time. I wanted some friends. I wanted to express, I wanted to find my tribe. And so I just put it out there and it just grew like hot fire because I realized that there were other women who felt exactly like I felt, and they saw that as a source to hold on to. And so it's been overwhelming for me because I've had to learn to be an entrepreneur. I've had to learn to manage this platform, whereas I just kind of wanted to blog every now and again. And, you know, it really grew into this really amazing thing.
Yeah. I feel like because you named it not your name, it was about her.
Yeah.
And when you create community where she can identify it as her own, then that's really one of the initial secrets to creating and cultivating community is saying it's not about Shanisha. It's you wanted to reach out to her and say, hey, this is a place for you and this is about you. We made similar steps to Tone It Up where we want to make sure that no matter who she is, she can make Tone It Up her identity.
Herself.
Yeah, she can see herself and she can feel represented. And that's something that we're making sure that we include a lot more of, too, is diversifying and representation matters. And this year has been so powerful and it's been difficult in certain ways. But I believe at the peak of Black Lives Matter, that was powerful. That was a learning time. That was a time of listening and amplifying voices that needed to be amplified. And you took over my Instagram, which was incredible. Yes. Thank you so much for that.
You have a wonderful community. And I realized that doing your Instagram, and I want to say thank you for it. And for those that are listening and watching this podcast, Katrina's right. She allowed me to take over her Instagram and she gave me no parameters.
No.
I remember
Can
I was
imagine?
Like, do you want me? I was like, I was like, do you want me to send you the post? Do you want to, you know, verify how they sound, what they look like? And you were like, no, I want you to use this and say what it is that you want to say. And so that was during the share the mic time. And I have a few friends that did share the mic, and that wasn't always the experience. You know, there were people who, you know, they were in it to kind of curate an experience for their audience. And I so appreciate the fact that you allowed me to be very vocal and honest. And I try to move in honesty because, you know, a part of what we do is have these very honest conversations and these very like transparent conversations. And it's not for show. It's not for, I want to, you know, put myself in front of this audience and be politically correct. I want to say, hey, this is really what it's like, because we don't always have that opportunity. And why would you squander that opportunity to be politically correct? And so I just want to say thank you. And your audience, they were so receptive and so polite, because sometimes that's such a scary space to walk into because you don't know how you're going to be received. And it was just so amazing. Like, and I think I sent you messages of the women that were following up in the conversation. And it just made me, it made me felt like we made a difference. Even if it were for 20 or 50 or 100 or 2000 women, there are women that heard that. And they, from that point forward, decided to move differently in their lives. And I feel like that's what it was all about.
You have the most incredible deep conversations with not only your audience, but your daughter. And when you took over my Instagram, we were talking about race with your children. And I'm going to link to that. I'm going to link to Wellness Your Way. but for anyone that didn't hear that, what I would love to know, you were able to offer what your advice was for conversations with your children about race. What were the conversations that were happening at home with your daughter, if you're comfortable sharing that?
Yeah. So I felt like during that time, you know, it was a very volatile, uncomfortable time for our world. I mean, it really was. And for adults, we're so loud and we're so like, fix it, do this differently, and you don't get it. And we're very aggressive. And but we are in a space with, I'm in a space with children, and you can't talk to kids that way. I'm not showing my daughter police brutality. She's 8. At the time she was 7. That's not how the conversation looked. And to me, racism is taught. No child is born racist. No child is born with hate in their heart. And so my stance was encouraging parents to encourage diversity versus just, you know, focusing on the racism as it is, because we teach it. And so for my daughter, you know, it was a conversation of embracing her uniqueness and embracing someone else's uniqueness. Okay, so your friend in class, her hair is different than yours. What do you love about your hair? What do you love about her hair? You know, books, toys, these different avenues that we can sit with our kids and teach them to embrace differences. And I always say, lead with it in a positive way. Don't lead with it in a negative way. And I think that's a lesson in law that I follow in my, it's a personal law. It's one of my agreements with myself in general, is to lead with positivity. So instead of saying, I'm so exhausted today, I'm so tired, I'll say, okay, I need to take a nap and then I'll feel better. So it's like these little things in how we speak to ourselves and how we speak to our children that affect our entire life. And so when it came to me, when it came to speaking about race with my daughter, I didn't necessarily speak to her about the hate. I spoke to her about the love of diversity and the beauty of people in general, and understanding her own beauty first so that she could see other types of beauty and not be intimidated by what that looked like or felt like. And there's nothing wrong with teaching our children that.
That's so beautiful. I love that so much. I can't imagine the conversations that were happening around dinner tables.
Oh my God. Yeah.
During that time. And I know that it either brought families together, it challenged families.
Yes.
It tore some families apart because of opinions, because of heart, because of old thoughts and old ways of living, and, you know,
yes.
And actually opening our eyes and learning. And thank goodness for the internet. Because I feel like it opened up my eyes, and I know that it was really impactful for a lot of people. You lead with empathy.
Yes.
We could probably talk for an hour about empathy alone. talk to me about why empathy is such an important part of being a mom and being a leader and being a woman.
It's about learning to relate to a person, even if you haven't had their experience, learning to be able to relate. And you hear empathize and sympathize used a lot, but empathy is what causes you to be able to sympathize with a person's situation. And so it's kind of like the definition of stepping into another person's shoes. And I think in general, like the way I look at individuals, like if I'm sitting here looking at you, what I see in you is a projection of myself, right? The way that I take in your energy, the way that I take in your politeness or your kindness or your warmth, it's how I choose to see you. And so when it comes to parenting, I'm really big on teaching my daughter about empathy and energy. And so even at home, like, you know, I've had days because it is me and her in the house. And if there's a day that I may not be up for whatever it is that she wants to do, I say, hey, does mommy feel, I use the word feel like, do I feel like I want to do that right now? Does this feel like a good time to bring the situation to me? And so it teaches kids to be reflective and to really listen to the things that are unsaid and to be aware of just what things feel like, because it's kind of like we have five senses. But to me, that level of intuition is like our sixth sense. It's being able to say, how does my body feel right now? How does the room? Let me read. Like you said, let me read the room. Is this a good time for that? You know, and so I think with women, with children, with people in general, it's not a sex, gender or race thing. We have to learn how to be more empathetic and understanding of different of other individuals' situations, their backgrounds, their environments before we step into a conversation, because everyone's not raised the same. I couldn't look at you and I've never said all white people or all people this, because not everyone was raised the same. You have to take people on an individual base by base, you know, situation. So with my daughter, I try to teach her that. I try to teach her to look at every situation, put herself in those shoes, and say, how would this make you feel if this happened to you?
You are writing a book, or are you finishing it right now?
So I just released a book with my daughter called Sunshine Honey and the Catastrophic Introduction. And then I just finished another book that is through my publishing company, my publishing agency, that'll be released next year.
I ordered your first book and then your,
yes.
You're pumping them out.
So the first book I wrote about 2 years ago. Aww. And it wasn't like, it was this book that I wrote through emotion. It wasn't my best book. And I was so like beating myself up and, oh, I don't want to release it. And my friend was like, just do it. Just release the book. Why won't you just release the book? And so that book was done. The book I did with my daughter was her idea. And I have a copy. I'll pull it out in a minute. But so, yeah, that book is old and I was so self-conscious about it. But it's out now. I'm trying to own that.
That's how I feel about this podcast. Like, I feel I could teach workouts all day. I could squat, lunge. I could go live for a workout and no imposter syndrome. For me to talk into a microphone with no cameras or anything, I'm like,
what
hello?
Do I do?
Is this thing on? Is anyone
what
listening?
Do I say?
And that's I actually love going live, because you can see who's there. You can talk with everyone in real time. Recording this podcast, even on a mic, I don't know who's going to be listening. And so I have to actually imagine everyone. And when I write, I have to imagine the woman on the other side reading it. So I actually picture real people in the community. I don't even know if the community realizes how much I think about them. Because, you know, you in order to empathize and lead with empathy and write and create with that and find yourself connecting with women, I think that you really have to think about what they need, and to be at the service of others. That's the only way that I know how. And so sometimes even before recording a video or doing anything, I'll actually just go on Instagram and cruise hashtags.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I've done that. But you're such a good mama. And I don't mean just to Bella, but to your community, because you're right. Like, thanks. if you're gonna create something for your community, you always have them in the front of your mind. You always have them, you know, you think about the comments that you got last week of someone asking you a question and thinking about how can I incorporate that into my business, my podcast, because you are conscious of your community. And so that's good. I think they do know. I really do. I think that your community, then that's why they show up. You have a community that really shows up for you. And so, you know, they love everything that you do. They love your daughter, you know, they love your husband, and y'all really do have a really good, genuine platform. And so, you know, whatever that feels like, just breathe through it. You know what I mean? Because it's real and you should, so you sweet. Should feel it.
Now I you feel like I'm feel on it, your so. Podcast. Like I feel like this is amazing. This is going to turn into a therapy session for me about my imposter syndrome. Okay. I want to go back to empathy for a moment. I just thought of this because you're talking about community and listening. Sometimes when you lead with empathy, you can be an empath. Mm-hmm. And so being an empath, you internalize everything. How do you lead such a large community? And you became an entrepreneur. You learned every avenue of every part of the business that needed to get done, and you just started doing it all on your own, and you get, you know, that one email of someone that maybe was rubbed the wrong way or is upset or needs something different from you. How do you walk through that? How do you navigate that? I'm asking for myself.
So I am naturally an empath in real life. And it's not easy. I'm sure that you seem to be one as well. So, you know, I pick up energy and it's hard. It can be really, really difficult for us in our personal relationships and our business. I want to say that business has given me a really thick skin. And so, because I've gotten those emails before, I've gotten those emails where I've been called names. I've been called, I mean, all kinds of things. And, it happens a few different ways. So when I receive an email, I have to first discern if this person is actually looking for an answer or if they just want to be mean and nasty, because there's, you know, there's two different types of that. And so I'll be honest with you. I've gotten an email from a person that's been like, hey, you're a racist because you have Black Mom's Blog. And I pause and I really do try to answer. I try to teach in that moment, because that energy is coming from someplace. Mm-hmm. And I always respond back and I say, hey, have you ever been on our platform? Have you ever read our blog posts? Have you ever interacted in our community? Have you ever done any of these things? And I would say, if you did that, you wouldn't feel that way. You wouldn't. It's a platform that celebrates Black women, but it's a platform open to everyone. We have people from all over the world that have been a part of our platform. And so we've had white women come to our events. You know, we've had white women with mixed children or adopted children who communicate with our platform. And so I really try to use it as a teachable moment. And just, for example, how you said about, like, you know, I've never had to think about what it would be like if Bella was the only, you know, Caucasian student in a class of minority children. And so I point them in those directions and I say, this is what we talk about. This is why this exists. And it shouldn't have to exist. You know what I mean? We shouldn't live in a world where we have to have these conversations, but we do. And I promise you, over the period of 5 years that I've been doing this, 9 times out of 10, I'm able to have an amicable conversation with that person by the time we finish going back and forth. So if it's an email where I feel like I can actually talk to them, I don't get upset, because I understand that if you were raised in a position of privilege, you don't always recognize that. And it's not always accepted to say, I don't know, and have someone give you an answer. When I receive those emails from people where they're just being nasty, I just don't respond. But in my personal case as well, I receive a lot of emails from women who need help. And those are the ones that are hard. And I have to ask myself, is this something that I can actually do? Is this something that they need therapy for? Is this something that I can't touch because I don't know if it's legitimate or not? And that to me is... those are some of the harder ones to figure out how to respond to. And I don't always know. I can't give you a full answer on that, because I don't always know.
Yeah. So. Aw. But yeah, I feel the same way, where I let the emotions and the needs of others come before my own. But I also feel like that has given me the ability to build something really beautiful. And I feel like that's what you're doing. You built something larger than yourself. And how do you prioritize yourself when you build a platform that is about other women and it's serving them around the clock? And how do you take care of you? And when do you unplug?
I am a pioneer of mama self-care.
Oh, good.
I am. And it's crazy because when you talk to women and you ask them things like, what does self-care mean to you? A woman will say, oh, I got to take a nap today, or I washed my hair today, or, you know, and it's crazy because those are common practices that we should be able to do anyways. Yeah. And the fact that we classify those things as self-care are scary. And it shows how much mothers in general are just not respected and loved on enough, because we think that washing our hair today was a form of self-care, and that's just not what it is. So for me, I kind of had to reach my bottom. When my daughter's father and I ended our engagement, I went into survival mode. You know, I was like, I need to take care of my kid. I have to find us a place to stay. I need to work this job. I need to make sure that I have enough to keep a roof over our heads. It became survival. And I got to a point where I was surviving and I was like, I don't want to survive anymore. I want to thrive. You know what I mean? How do I get to a place of thriving? What can I do to thrive? And for me, when I think about self-care, it's not just me putting cucumbers on my eyes and taking a warm bath. It was getting my financials in order. It was building my credit score. It was handling things of security so that I could be free. And then I started to travel and I would take my daughter with me. I would, you know, I took her first trip for her 6th birthday. We went to Colombia, you know what I mean? And she's been with me to Jamaica, and she's been to the Bahamas a handful of times. And, you know, so it was also a part of me having self-care was teaching her from an early age what it looked like for me to love myself so that she could grow up seeing that worth. And so one of the things that we practice in our house, and I talk about this all the time, is my theory of separate togetherness. And it's a time where we are in the same space, but we're doing something separately. So during the week, we have an hour of reading and we sit on opposite ends of the couch. And for an hour, I read my book, and for an hour, she reads her book. And then we talk about it at the end. And so it's showing her like, hey, you can value your alone time. You can do things in your room. You can draw pictures. She has a little iPhone. You can call your friends. You know, you can do these things by yourself so that she understands that she doesn't have to always be up under me and that she doesn't always have to need this in this way. Okay, she has to learn to love on herself. You know, I was a woman first before I became a mother. And so self-care to me is tapping back into that womanhood. I hope I answered
that.
That's
beautiful. Right. Totally. Okay. So I think about this because I love psychology, and it fascinates me even the way that I like to learn more about myself and my own behaviors. Yeah. And I am still working on, if I'm on the same sofa as you, that we can do something independently. And what you're doing is you are raising a daughter who is not going to be a codependent.
Yes.
She is going to be independent. Mm-hmm. And because I have codependency characterizations.
Oh, I'm codependent. I'm codependent and independent all at the same time. I'm like, can our feet touch? Can I put my foot on you?
Yeah. And do I really have to go to the grocery store by myself? Or like, is that something that we can do together? I even now in my mid-30s, I'm working on my comfort level of doing things as my own person, and that being okay. I used to really, I feel like, not be proud, but I'd be like, yeah, I do this with Brian, and I've been with him since I was 19. But what was I doing on my own as my own person? And I couldn't really, I got to the point, and I think that it took becoming a mom as I realized, okay, I'm going to give my whole self to my daughter. But does that mean that I'm not going to give anything back for me? And so I started really thinking, was I doing anything for myself? And for about 6 months postpartum, I don't think I put one drop of vitamin C oil on my face. No self-care. I wasn't doing even the bare necessities of taking a shower and washing my hair if I could. And so I really took a step back and I wanted to do something for me. So little things here and there, I started carving out what is my identity outside of being a mom?
Yes. Who am I?
Oh my gosh. And then what's my identity outside of my brand? Because building a brand, you unravel yourself so much with it.
Social media taught me that.
Yeah.
Because when I started Black Moms Blog, I didn't have a personal Instagram account. I just had the business. And when I started my personal account, I was like, what am I going to talk about? I don't do anything. I don't go anywhere. And I truly at the time, this was, you know, 3, maybe 4 years ago, I wasn't doing much. And I started it and it was all about my daughter. And I just felt so overwhelmed. I was like, okay, I'm a mom. I get that. But I'm also, I think, you know, 27-year-old woman. I like to do other things. And so even on my personal account, I post Cameron a lot, but my personal account is more about self-care, you know, self-worth and encouraging women to remember themselves because of exactly what you just said. We forget, you know, and of course I get the questions, where's your daughter? Who is she with? Sometimes she's right there beside me when I'm out of the country or I'm, you know, at a conference. Cameron's right there. But a reason why I started my personal platform was to just really encourage women that before they were mothers to remember themselves. And social media, even though we're mom influencers, we're mom bloggers, we're mom business owners, we're also women. And so with my daughter, I don't include her a lot. And two, I'm more than a mother. I'm such a multifaceted woman and business owner and partner and friend and sister and daughter. I'm so many other things that I didn't want my identity to just be wrapped up into being a mom. I saved that for Black Moms Blog. My personal account is for me. And so I've created essentially these two separate communities. You know, one is, this is momhood, this is womanhood. And I'm the bridge in the middle to bring it together to say, this is me on both sides of the equation. So, you know, I love that you said that. Find something for yourself. Like it's completely okay.
No matter what, someone's going to have something to say. You have to do something for you. And I love that you do that for you. And as much as you serve everybody, I love that you have your own platform that is your own identity, because that says a lot. And for anyone that's listening, that's a mom and a wife and or a partner or a business owner or a boss babe or, you know, whatever it is, are you living your true dream of who you are?
That's a transparency though, Katrina. I feel like, you know, and so I think also understanding that, you know, I remember everybody's not going to like you, you know, and that's just the harsh reality. It's like high school all over again, right? Like you're not always going to be understood. You can come through with something with the purest of intentions, and there's going to be that one person that's hell bent on misunderstanding you with their almightiest efforts, you know? And so with social media, I kind of say, you know, you have to, for anybody listening to this, who's trying to figure out, like, how do I carve out my audience? Be very specific about who your audience is and who you are. If you start that from the beginning, be authentic in yourself. You know, I like fitness. I love my daughter. I love making floor arrangements. I love going to the beach. I love my partner. And cycle those things too, so that they're a constant part of who you are. If someone doesn't like it, you know, social media is voluntary. You don't have to be here. I would like it if you stayed, but if you got to go, I get it. It's okay. You know, you're not going to make me feel horrible for using my space for my things. And so I think that's important to remember, is that you're not always going to be liked. You're not always going to have people agree with you. And that's okay. Because for those one or two people, you have hundreds of thousands who love you.
Yeah. I struggle with change a lot. But here we go with another session where I'm going to be just like asking your advice. But how have you discovered new parts of yourself, and how do you feel like you've grown as a woman through motherhood and womanhood in those two places, and how have you evolved and trimmed the tree and not felt like you left your old self behind, but you, you know, you grew into this evolved version of yourself in both of those areas.
I think it was discovering that I wasn't really happy in mm-hmm. some of the spaces that I was in. And that's so scary because I kind of look at it like women in particular, especially when we're wives and we're mothers and business owners, right? All these boxes that we check off, we have such a responsibility to our community that we almost kind of start to operate on autopilot. We smile, we show up, we show the kid, we hug the husband, we, you know, do the business thing, and then we go to sleep. And it becomes such a routine. And you're like, well, I have to do this because this is what I've been taught to do. And this is what my community knows me to do. But then you're like, I'm not happy. So for me, when I told you earlier, I hit my rock bottom, that's a part of what I meant. I had formed such an identity in my 6-year relationship with my daughter's father that I didn't know who I was. I had no idea who this human being was in this body that was showing up every day. And we had such a picture perfect internet relationship and all these things, and everybody loved us together, and our relationship was falling apart. And I had no self-identity outside of being a mother and his fiance. And, you know, I didn't have anything for myself. And so for me, I ran into my fears with open arms. I mean, literally, like, when it comes to my life in general, that's what I had to do. At a time, I wasn't happy with my weight. I didn't feel pretty in my clothes. It wasn't for anybody else's purpose, but I was like, I hired a trainer. I started going to a gym. I changed my diet. And I was so much happier on the other side. And so for me, that change came from me saying, I'm not happy. Okay, I accept that. I'm going to cycle through how I feel. I'm going to come up with some solutions. And through trial and error, I realized that by accepting change, I became happier. So now I have something to base that experience off of. I'm able to look back at my life and say, hell, in the last 2 years, these changes have brought me this source and this real sense of happiness. Just changing my thought process on how I verbally communicate with others or how I talk to myself. My self-talk has improved in such a way that I feel confident when I wake up in the morning. I'm able to make that choice. So it really was just me looking at my fear and saying, I got to do this. Like, this is life or death. I have to change. I'm not happy. And verbalizing that even with the people around me, I'm not happy. If you love me, please let me do this. And my daughter's father and I aren't together anymore, but he's one of my best friends. And we lived in the same building for 2 years after we broke up. And now we live about 5 minutes up the street from each other. And, you know, there came a time when I needed him to show up more for our daughter. And I was like, hey, I need to do this. And he willingly did it without any complaint because he had saw me martyr myself for so long to this idea of perfection, to motherhood, to image, whatever, that when I sat him down and I was like, I need you to help out a little bit more. I need you to, you know, keep her an hour later on this day because I have to do this thing. He would say, you know, I'm so proud of you. Do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like when there are people around you who really love you, when you come to them with that conversation, they say, okay, I love this human being, not because I own her or because of who she is to me, but I love her so much that I want her to be happy in her life. How can I facilitate being a part of her happiness? And so that makes me emotional. But that's, you know, that's where I've grown is from not just him, but those individuals, my friends, my family in my life that have allowed me to kind of be free to figure out who I am. So
that's so beautiful. I do think that as moms and women, we're so nurturing and we tend to own everything ourselves that we forget that when we ask for help, then we can actually give more anyway. And I didn't ask for any help for, you know, 6 or 7 months when I had a newborn and was trying to run our business and do all these things. Yeah. And as soon as I was like, oh, I need some help, then I can be a better mom and I can be better to myself and be a better wife. And I feel like I definitely want to include some links to on posts that you have shared about healthy co-parenting. I think that is huge. We probably won't touch on that today, but I will include all of that in some other articles that I think that will be really helpful for everyone. The name of the podcast is Live Beautifully. So what does live beautifully mean to you? How do you live beautifully?
So I just made a post about this, about how I plan to walk into 2021. And I made one of those little meme posts where it's like all these things surrounding you. And so a few of the things I put on there when it comes to me living beautifully in my life is, one, saying yes to myself, being unapologetic in that yes, releasing my fears, accepting who I am, you know, really accepting my flaws and my positive traits so that I can move fluidly through myself, and also tapping into what I'm good at. When I meet women, I always ask them, like, what's your superpower? And women, we instantly, like, blush and we're like, I don't know what I'm good at. And so I make them, I'm like, what do you do well? I want you to tell me, like, what do you do well? And so for me, that's a part of me living beautifully, is being authentic and helpful. And if there's a woman that can say I help them, that's me living beautifully, because my life isn't just about me. Your life isn't just about you. You know, we have such a wide platform of women who are so inspired by what we do. And so we have to be selfless in that. It's not all about our own happiness, but in order to make another person happy, we have to be happy first. So that's my way to be a beautiful being in this world.
So cute. I love it. And perfect and amazing in every way. Where can everyone find you, and any other, you know, links, books, anything that you want to share for everyone to come see you?
So you can find me on my personal account, which is Shanisha Boswell. I'm sure Katrina's going to spell that out on the
everything.
Screen, so I won't spell it out. And then if you're interested in learning more about Black Moms Blog, you can follow us at Black Moms Blog. And it's that on every platform, website, social media, ShanishaBoswell.com, BlackMomsBlog.com, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the links are there. My daughter and I just released a book. It's called The Adventures of Sunshine Honey. And it's about the catastrophic introduction. And it's just a book that teaches kids how to use affirmations and positive self-talk to overcome their shyness and be able to introduce themselves to other people. And that's at sunshinehoneybooks.com.
Do you have a positive affirmation in that book that you'd want to share right now?
Sure. Yeah, I do have, there's a list. And so I wrote this book with my daughter, and so she actually gave me her affirmations. And so here's the page on affirmations, and I had her stand in front of the mirror and talk about what she loves about herself. And so a few of her affirmations that she did give were, they're right here. And it says, I am smart. I love to read. My hair is awesome. I love my eyes. I am kind. I love to smile. My skin is beautiful. And I love that I have my dad's knees. And she says, I love everything about me.
That's so nice.
But just a tidbit to parents, if you are having a kid that's, you know, struggling with, you know, shyness and confidence, remind them of what they love about themselves, build their inner confidence, and they'll show up brighter in the world, and in their own most beautiful way as well. So
I saw this quote the other day that said, it was actually, of course, a psychology account that I follow. And it said that your child's inner voice later on in life is actually your voice as a parent.
Yes. 100%. Yeah.
So
I agree.
And I thought about that, and you know what I did is I sat back and I was like, Jane, to like my mom. I was thinking.
I was like, but I mean, think about it, right?
Yeah. I'm like, wait, totally. My inner voice is totally my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
And when I'm, especially when I'm in a tough spot and I'm digging deep and I'm thinking, can I do this? I hear my dad. And when I'm digging deep and I'm thinking, okay, I have this wild idea, I hear my mom, you know, saying, oh, totally do this.
So interestingly enough that you say that, my latest article that I wrote for the New York Times was about how to get our children to talk to us about anything. And I started the article off talking about the fact that my mother made me feel like I could do anything. She was that inner voice for me who was always cheering me on. And so to hear about that, I mean, it's so true. Like, the way that we talk to our children is literally how they hear the world. That's how we form their viewpoints. That's how we see. And so even with my daughter, even when I'm upset with her, it's never a case where I'm yelling or, you know, and I get that that's not easy for all moms or dads, but also understanding the power of apologizing to our children, because you're not going to be a perfect parent. There are going to be days when you are going to yell. There are going to be days when you just want to lay on the couch all day and sleep. And they're going to be like, mommy, what are you doing? And saying to them, hey, I'm sorry, I needed a moment, or whatever the case. So just the power of apology, so that their inner voice realizes what it means to apologize as well. So it's super important.
Aww. Jane.
You're going to call your mom after this and be like, hey, you were there.
100%. I do think when you're going through something difficult, you know, it's almost like you don't really talk to yourself. You listen to yourself. You're looking for yourself to tell you anything to get through it. And when it's traumatic or when you're lost and you're in your own head, you're listening to some voice that's there. And
Speak to it. Speak to it out loud. I literally walk around. I practice my throat chakra a lot. I will, if I'm having even a point of disaccord with another person and I'm home alone, or, you know, I will verbally, I'm the crazy person walking around the house having that conversation, because I just may need to hear it out loud. I need to get it off my chest. And so I'll talk it through like I'm having a conversation with that person. Or I'll speak to myself. I pray out loud, because to me, it's that's the affirmation. That's the mantra. That's the prayer. That's the meditation. Whatever word you use, it's like that's how I verbalize my thought processes. I have to get it out.
It's so interesting that you say that, because I only pray out loud. Yeah.
Really?
When I want to pray, like a girlfriend of mine was diagnosed with cancer this year during COVID, and I felt like I couldn't talk to her and I couldn't call her at any moment. And, you know, and I didn't want to bother her because she didn't feel well and these things. And so I couldn't pray for her in my own head, because I would get really afraid and I would get upset. So the way that I was able to actually pray was when I would say things out loud, and it felt like it was going somewhere.
And
it is. So I was thinking to myself actually the other day, I was like, does anyone else do this where they feel like they have to say it out loud for it to come true, I guess. But well, is there anything else that you want to add to today? Should we say a prayer out loud together for everyone? We love you all.
No, it was great. No, it was perfect. I really enjoyed talking to you. It felt like, you're right, it did feel like therapy on both ends. It was just like you have a really softness about you that's super calm and just easy. And so it was just, I feel great.
We could just keep going.
I'm sitting here in Atlanta. Yeah, it was
thank
good.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And we should do a round two. Let's think about some fun things. And I'm sure from this episode, everyone will just absolutely fall in love with you if they haven't already known you. And it'll inspire us for future conversations. I know that I feel like we barely scratched the surface on every single topic. I mean, we tried to talk about as many things that we wanted to today, but we can dive deep on so many different things and peel back some layers of emotion and empathy and motherhood and everything. So thank you.
I love that.
Thank you, Katrina.
Okay,
I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for tuning into Live Beautifully today. I hope you loved this episode and that you feel empowered, connected, and of course, inspired to live beautifully. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when a new episode comes out. I love seeing your reviews and hearing how this podcast is making a positive impact on your life. So if you haven't yet, I'd love for you to leave a review. I read everything from you and it means the absolute world to me. I'll be sharing your reviews and stories on Instagram at Katrina Scott. Also, for Ask Me Anything episodes, literally anything, text me on my cell at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604 with anything you'd like to talk about. Title your text AMA for Ask Me Anything so I can look out for your message. Thanks again for tuning in and sharing this with your girlfriends. I cannot wait to chat soon. Let's live beautifully together.